This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Free speech lives here. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, it's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Your host for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes,
Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
Good morning. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris. How are you, Deanne?
Fabulous, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. And we're excited to be here talking to you here every week on Talk Radio 1210. If you want to ask us a question on residential, commercial, real estate, whatever, give us a call. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And you can listen to this show and all of our prior shows at goodnewsinrealestate.com and at WPHT's website also. So what's coming up today, Deanne?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the market report.
You got one for you.
We have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Yes.
We have also Mark's funny story.
We'll see.
We also have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is?
203Ks are back.
They're back.
Mark, we also have our questions. First one is, Must you have a down payment to purchase a new home? Kind of like, do you need a job? Next question is, why is my realtor reluctant to place a backup offer for me? When I ask her about placing a backup offer for me, she always has excuses why I should not do that.
She must have a headache.
Next question is, when you purchase a home listed as is, should I assume that the home inspector, if the home inspector says I have problems, the current owner will not pay for any repairs?
That's like another myth out there.
The next question is, can I rent a home for 1 month only? If not, what is the minimum I can rent a house for?
I'm in the middle of one of them right now.
All right. And Mark, we also have our topic of the day, which is buyer agency agreement.
Little technicalities.
But first, give us your motivational quote.
The motivational quote is, though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. I always like dramatic endings. Everything has to have a beginning, a middle, and a dramatic ending. So
I don't like the dramatic endings. Let's have like a calm and peaceful ending.
I never all my songs end with a dramatic ending.
All right.
So where are we at?
Mark, we're up to the market report.
And there is the bell. So anyway, it's time to go green in Philly. Jersey's now open. Wolf's got to get his act together and open everything because it's over. With all these protests and everything and the curves down, it's time to open business. It's ridiculous. But back to real estate. Homes for sale continue to be in short supply. We're actually down 20% compared to last year. Metro seeing the largest decline in housing inventories, tended to be the hardest hit by the COVID-19. And they were all mostly on the East Coast, such as, but Philadelphia Metro was the hit it the hardest, down 38.6% in inventory. We're out of all these big cities, we're one of the worst with a drop in inventory. I actually checked this morning. There's 3,792 homes for sale in Philly out of 676,000. Now, I sent an email out to all of our agents and telling them this number and saying, this is why you should be calling your database, because they don't have a clue what's going on here. And the public doesn't know neither, because they don't talk about real estate. And if they did, this is the best time to get the highest buck for your house, because there's no inventory. Yeah. So,
I mean, everybody is tired of being in their house. And if you don't call, and if you don't ask, the answer's
no. The answer's no. Exactly. So anyway, with this has changed the way people have been conducting business. This virus has some housing experts predict it's going to be a forever change with some real estate processes. Consumers will likely depend more on their real estate agent than ever before. Before the pandemic, the many real estate processors still used print documentation and all. This is going to bring everybody more digital and more high tech, which is all right. As long as it's explained and you don't just sign and click and click here without somebody explaining everything. We talked about that one time. But anyway, things are going to get better. The growing trend of the working remotely, though, could alter Americans' office space in pricey areas and prompt them to buy homes elsewhere. Some people, home sales in the suburbs as well as smaller, less expensive cities could see a boost in sales because of, you know, people are a little leery about being in the big cities. Some tech companies, including Facebook, Twitter, Square, have already announced that they're going to allow the select employees to work remotely from home, and they expect half of their workforce to be remotely totally at home within 5 to 10 years. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that about 75% of his employees have already expressed an interest in moving to a different city if they could work remotely. Insurance companies like Nationwide, based in Ohio, they announced permanent transitions. So there's going to be a lot of changes in the way people work now that they see that they can do it. And it's going to have some effect on office space on the commercial market, because some companies are not going to need as much office space. It might make it a little cheaper. And younger generations have been purchasing them at lower rates than previous generations. Less than 37% of people under 35 owned a home last year, according to the census. But that's going to start changing.
Wait. Let's back up real quick. Less than 37% of people under the age of 35 owned a home last year.
That's right. So that's all the millennials now getting in, starting to come in. Some of these young adults may be financially now finally getting ready to launch into home ownership in a very affordable market, probably the most affordable market in history. For example, the average age of a Facebook employee is 29 years old. Their median pay as of 2018 was more than $240,000, according to data from PayScale. Now is the time for all these younger workers to start putting their matchmaking skills of online real estate platforms to the test. And that is going to be where all the buyers are for the next 5 to 10 years. But the real estate agents need to be in touch with these people, and they better get over thinking that they're just going to send emails and Facebook and drip campaigns and all that junk, because every other industry is doing the same thing. You got to call your database up, call your friends up, and tell them what the hell is going on with real estate. Because if they're not all listening to our show, they don't know. The media does not talk about our industry at all. And if they do, it's very short and sweet, and they throw out the myth about 20% down, and you can get a good buy, and that's all they hear. And they don't hear that if you can buy a house in the threes and get grants and everything else. I mean, it is a great time to buy. So as soon as your governor in New Jersey finally got off the pot, as my mom would say, and now everybody can go back to work, And if Wolf finally realizes it's time to go green, everything's going to start happening again. And we're going to be all right. But I'm very optimistic now. I just can't wait. Like my school, you know, we've been doing Zoom classes online. But I got a lot of students call me up and they want to be in a classroom. They want to talk face to face. And people that think that everybody wants to do everything online, they're wrong. So anyway.
You know what else they don't know?
What?
They don't know how great the rates are.
And how great are the rates?
They don't know that a 30-year conventional right now is at 3%. They don't know that your 30-year FHA is at 3.25%, 3%, depending on the day. Your 15-year is at 2.875%.
Wow.
If you are at 3.75% or higher, please give me a call, 609-605-7153. Not only will I show you how much lower your payment's going to be, but I can also show you the interest that you're going to save over the course of your loan.
I know. It is a great time to buy. So I got a lot of that out of my system in that little market report there, I'll tell you. I feel better already. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210. All positive, all the time. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more after the break and this message from Debt Free Living. Learn more at WeHateDebt.com.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, all positive, all the time. So where are we at, Dan?
It better be good, Mark, but we're up to your funny story.
Yeah, I got one for you.
No pressure.
I know, we're up to like 700 of these things. So anyway, this young, fresh guy gets out of college, moves into town, goes on his first job interview, and he's reaching the end of the interview, and the human resource officer asked the young engineer, that's what he was, out of MIT, he goes, "And what starting salary are you looking for?" And the young, new grad engineer replies, "In the region of $125,000 a year, depending on the benefits package." And the interviewer inquired, he goes, "Well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical, dental, matching retirement fund, up to 50% of your salary, a company car at least every 2 years, let's say a red Corvette?" And the young engineer sits up straight and he goes, "Wow, are you kidding?" And the interviewer goes, "Yeah, but you started it."
All right, that was good.
That was good. One. All right,
if you
so with now,
story,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. I interrupted there.
It's shocking. If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266. 5501.
Now it's time for the Mortgage Mom segment. Very, very serious. With Deanne Katsaris from Green Tree Mortgage. And her topic is 203Ks are back. So tell us about this.
I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
Very excited.
To mention that the 203Ks are back in. Basically, the 203K is an FHA loan that allows you to incorporate your rehab costs into the loan. So a lot of people right now that are refinancing, you know, they've been stuck in the house for a couple months. They might want to put a deck on, do some landscaping, put a new roof on, maybe even redo the kitchen. And all that is allowable with your 203K, especially as a refinance. So it can be either as a refinance, Mark, or you can purchase the home and we can do the rehab work and customize that the way that you want. So let's say you're purchasing that home and it's got the orange shag carpet and it's got green avocado cabinets. We can change all that in the 203K. So it allows you to finish basements, put a roof on, basically do any kind of upgrades to the property that's going to enhance the value. You don't want to put a sauna or a hot tub or do anything that's going to basically create a white elephant for that property. So it's things, it's cosmetic. You can build an addition. We've done everything from putting, you know, full-blown additions on top of the house. We've also done decks and sheds and things to the house to improve the value, which, you know, it's a phenomenal loan because, like I said, it allows you to incorporate these costs into the loan. You're not coming out of pocket with it. So let's say you're looking to purchase a home that's $200,000 and you're walking through the house, you love the location, but you just don't like the layout of the house and you want to change, you know, that kitchen cabinet. You want to get rid of the linoleum that's on the floor. All of these costs can be added into the loan. So let's say that comes out to be, let's call it $50,000. Your new sales price is now $250,000, and that's what you're going to put 3.5% down as right. your minimum down payment.
It's a great program. And a lot of people don't know about this. Like, you could have a house in a neighborhood, in a great neighborhood where you want to be, but you go into this house and it's beat a little bit, but it needs 100 in work. But after you did the 100 in work, it might be worth 4 or something. And right. and you get the house you want. I mean, I'm surprised more people don't take advantage of this.
Well, not this loan is the two. There's a couple different rehab loans. I mean, there's also rehab loans out there for investors now. There's also a conventional rehab loan called Your Home Ready, Home Possible, which, again, allows you to incorporate all of these costs into the loan. Now, there's two different types. So you're going to do one that's called your Streamline, and that's when your repairs are under $30,000. And the difference right. is that you don't need to work with a HUD consultant to go through the property to make sure, you know, that it's FHA insurable. They're going to go through the property only if your repairs are going to be over $35,000.
I still suggest they get a consultant.
Without a doubt. And the one thing that they have to realize, too, is that when you have that HUD consultant that's going to go out and walk through the property with you and determine exactly how much everything's going to cost, that is not in place of your home inspection. So the one thing that's really necessary when you do these 203Ks or you do any kind of rehab loan is that you want to get your inspection done, your regular home inspection, because, again, it gives you the opportunity to see, you know, the roots, the nuts and bolts of that actual home to determine if there's no more work that needs to be done.
And a big thing that, too, is if you have this consultant, they're used to dealing with contractors. So you're not going to get a bunch of contractors. Yeah, well, don't answer their phone. Don't get back to you. This and that. Right. They got to be approved on a list. And if they want this kind of business, they're going to do the job right. That's why I would get a consultant no matter what.
No, agreed. And I think the consultant is priceless. And there is a charge for the consultant, but it also depends on, you know, how much work needs to be done. With the contractors, the contractor needs to be licensed, insured, and lead-based certified, and no one in the project can be related. So the realtor cannot be related to the contractor. The buyer cannot be related to the contractor. And they just want to make sure that, you know, that it's not a non-arm's length transaction.
Right. It's a great program. And having that consultant, I have people that, you know, have had fire claims, and then they try to deal with their own contractors. They don't deal with contractors all the time. These people deal with contractors every day. They're good at
it. And the great thing about this product, too, is, you know, it takes about 45 to 60 days to be able to close on this loan. And that's when all the construction work begins. So as soon as you go to settlement, you're getting the keys to your new home. That's when you're applying for the permits and getting everything that needs to be done. They give you up to 6 months to get the work done. But as soon as you go to settlement, you can start that day.
Yeah, it's a great program.
I like it.
All right. That was a very good topic. Very good.
So let me just interject. If anybody has questions about the 203K or the conventional rehab, don't hesitate to reach out. You can give me a call at 609-605-7153. And don't forget, with this program, you have the ability to refinance into the rehab loan, or you can strictly do it as when you purchase the home.
It's a very good program. All right. So where are we at?
So you're going to take us out for a break, Mike.
Oh, Mike. All right, Ralph. All right, so with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210. All positive all the time. Me and Ralph will be right back.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley. But first, a word from one of our home team partners, REMAX, and Alan Stassen, who's famous for being a Philadelphia real estate expert.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio, WPHT, all positive all the time with Miss Katz, Deanne Katsaris, and Mark Cumberland. So, where are we at, Deanne?
Thanks for clearing up the names, Mark, because, you know, I was having a little issue. We are up to our questions and answers, and we have question number one. Right. Must you have a down payment to purchase a new home?
Actually, no. The contract itself is enough. I mean, it's a binding contract.
Well, there's a difference between your earnest money deposit and a down payment.
Right. An earnest money deposit, that's what I'm talking about. Technically, if you're totally pre-approved, Deanne's got your everything done, taxes, everything's in, you're totally pre-approved to buy the house, you're almost at the final stage, you don't really need to put money down. And if you showed the seller your fund, where your funds are, everything else, do you have to put money in escrow? No. The down payment, if it's 3% down, you got to have that much in the deal. But do you have to put it up front? No. Because some people are in such good financial shape, you know they're not going to have a problem. They're going to buy it. But traditionally, most people want to see some skin in the game. So there's always, you know, that escrow money put that goes towards your closing costs. But do you actually have to put escrow money down legally? No. The contract is binding enough. What's the next one?
Next question is, why is my realtor reluctant to place a backup offer for me? When I ask her about placing a backup offer, she always has excuses why I shouldn't do that. Her favorite excuse is that there's too many backup offers on a particular house, so there's no need for me to place one because I'll never get the house. Is there anything as too many backup offers, and how many is too many?
Well, this must be a house in one of these markets that we're talking about where everybody's trying to buy and there's multiple offers, and this agent just doesn't think that this buyer's going to win. But that's not her decision. She's got a fiduciary duty to do what the buyer asks. And even if the buyer's offers off a little bit and the buyer says, I want you to submit this offer, the agent has a fiduciary duty to do it if they are a buyer agency, which we're going to talk about today. But if she always has an excuse, they might have the wrong agent.
Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking about, just because of the way that this question is.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's coming across. You know, you'll never get the house.
Like, well, it's going back and forth and back and forth, and there's a bunch of people involved here, and she don't want to bother because she don't think she's going to win. That's not her decision, the agent's decision. So what's the next?
You know, what's never happened before is I've had three people put the same offer on the same house, so right. I have three buyers that are pre-approved. And they all picked the same house to put an offer in.
Oh, wow.
You know what that means, right?
You got to be careful.
Well, plus there's lack of inventory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah. But, all right, question number three. When you purchase a home listed as is, should I assume that if the home inspector says it has problems, the current owner will not pay for the repairs?
No. And this is a misnomer. This is another myth, like you got to put 20% down. And people think that they're going to write on their listing, put it as is, because I'm not doing no repairs. Every real estate transaction, in the end, when it finally gets to the settlement table and closes, is as is. Putting as is, all it does is scare away buyers. It's a bad marketing move. If you put as is and a buyer sees a listing being sold as is, Of course they're going to think there's problems. What if there is no problems? You just got a very greedy seller that wants every nickel. And so he tells the agent, put it as is. I'm not doing no repairs. And then they do a home inspection and there's some minor thing. Add a pipe to the hot water heater that's called for or something. That costs like $3. That would have been it. You know, it's just a bad move putting it in as is. Unless there's some extenuating circumstance and the things need a total rehab and they're not, you know, and they tell you up front that we're not fixing this thing up. But I've seen regular houses for sale with nothing wrong with them at all, except the seller told the agent, I want it sold as is because we don't want to do repairs before there's a home inspection and everything. So I don't know. To answer the question, how do I answer this question? Does it mean the owner's not going to be no repairs? No, because if they, what if the house is $200,000 and they offer them $210,000 because they want this house bad and this guy says it's going to be as is and they have a home inspection and it comes back and there's a couple $100 repair. What, you're not going to take that deal? It's ridiculous.
Right.
To me, unless it's a total rehab or there's some really serious problems that are disclosed and they're not doing it, and they warn you, like, be careful when you open the door and walk on the floor, like something like that kind of situation. Don't use, just because you want to net as much as you want, you're going to eliminate buyers saying as is. How do you know what's going to turn people on or what's going to turn people off? I remember when I was a rookie agent and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, I used to like line up settlements, line up showings, taking them to the one I thought they were going to buy. And then they would buy the one that smelled like a dog. And I'd be like in shock. I'd be like, wow. So I realized, just lead the way and turn the lights on and keep my mouth shut. Anyway, what's
all right,
the next
let's
one?
Let's go on to the next one, Mark. You're like on rants today.
I am. Good.
All right. The next question is, can I rent a home for 1 month only? If not, what is the minimum I can rent a house for?
See, this is a problem. I got one of these right now. I'm helping a friend out. They had a fire. Their solar panels on their roof caught on fire and burnt the house down. So if they're in the middle of having their house rebuilt and they need a rental. Now, they don't want to get into a year rental. So what we're trying to do is cut a deal. Find somebody that's got an empty house that they want to rent, and maybe they're going to pay $2,000 a month. But they can go higher because the insurance company's paying for it. But we know that. The seller doesn't know that. So we offer them, say, hey, how about if we give you $3,000 a month, but you'll give it, we only need it for 3 months. And then the lessor says, okay. Can you do it? It's hard to find them. Because people don't want to do short leases, but they're out there. And if you got a good agent, you can usually help somebody out in that. Because think about that. How many people have fires in their house and then they need a place to stay, but they're not going to be staying for a year or two. They're going to be staying for months.
Yeah, so, that's why maybe an extended stay might be the best place, or an Airbnb.
Yeah, but these people, I'm helping them actually get one down the shore, and we found one. And it's
that's a great idea.
All right, what's the next one?
Next question. Can you use spousal support and child support as income when applying to finance for a home? So the answer to that is yes. Yes. You can use alimony, spousal support. You can also use child support as long as it's court ordered. Number one, and right. As long as you can show that you've been receiving it for the past 3 months and that it's going to continue for 3 years. So a lot of times the child support will say till the child is 18 years old and if they go to college. Well, if they go to college is a big if, because the underwriter doesn't know that they're going to go to college. Like, I just had somebody on Friday. I was pre-approving her. And the child support says that it's going to continue as long as the child is in college. Well, she's 17 years old. We don't know if she's going to go to college or not. So, again, yes, you can use alimony. You can use child support as long as it's court ordered. As long as we can show that you've been receiving it for 3 months, it's going to continue for at least 3 years, and they're not in the rears. It's been paid on time. All right, so coming up next will be our topic of the day, a buyer agency agreement.
Very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, all positive all the time. We will be right back.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210, all positive all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is a buyer agency agreement.
All right, so now we'll get a little technical. So now, just so everybody knows, and this a lot of buyers and sellers don't know this, but unless you sign a contract with a real estate agent in Pennsylvania, everybody represents the seller. If you do not, if some agent takes you to show you a, shows you a house and you don't sign a buyer agency agreement with them, they are not on your side. And that is a big mistake. You should hire somebody that's going to be on your side. And you need to have a contract in writing. Like a listing agent, and it's an employment contract, but the broker represents the buyer, the principal, as his agent and fiduciary. Either the buyer or the seller may pay the buyer's agent when the buyer buys the property. The buyer, the buyer could pay commission to this agent. The fee can be a flat fee, hourly rate, commission, however it's negotiated. Frequently, the buyer's agent and the listing brokers usually split a commission. You can't just say that's the way it is generally. There is no regular commission. But usually the seller pays a commission, which is split four ways between the two agents and their brokers. Before signing a buyer's agent's agreement, the buyer agent will explain the options available to the buyer, and the agent must get detailed financial information about the buyer. This agent's going to know everything about you, how much money you got in the bank. They're going to know everything about you because they're representing you, and you need to tell them everything so there's no surprises. The method and amount of compensation will also be negotiated, and there's three types of buyer agent agreements that mirror the three types of listing agreements. The exclusive buyer agency agreement, aka exclusive right to represent, binds the buyer to the broker. Like, the you are actually the always working for the broker of the company. The agent is in the middle between you and the broker, but everything's about the broker in real estate. The buyer must pay the broker if he buys a property during the term of the agreement that you signed this buyer agency agreement with this agent. So you can't sign a buyer agency agreement and then buy a house with another agent because you're going to owe that other agent a commission. So it's a contract, just like any other contract. An exclusive agency buyer agreement makes the broker the exclusive agent of the buyer. The buyer does not have to pay a commission to the broker if the buyer finds the property and arranges to purchase them himself. That's a different type of contract. Then there's an open buyer agency agreement, which gives no exclusivity to any agent and allows the buyer to have a number of agents representing him or her, and she may find a property even on her own. The problem with that one is, like, if you used to want to deal with a whole mess of different realtors and don't want to be tied to one or be loyal to one, How good of a job are they going to do for you? You know, that's the same with on the listing side and not exclusive listing agent, where it's an open listing where some seller thinks if he hires, he gets four or five different agents to work for him, that they're all going to work harder because one of them wants to win. Usually that doesn't happen. They, like in my case, if a buyer doesn't want to sign a buyer agency contract with me, then I might not want to work with them because they're getting me for basically free, because usually the seller's paying my commission. They're getting all my expertise, all my time being put into this thing, but they don't want to sign a contract with me. I have a problem with that. That's a loyalty issue to me. If you want me to work for you, sign a contract. So most of the time, and this is a big mistake, a lot of agents are scared to ask the buyer when they first meet them to sign a buyer agency contract. So they go out and they start showing them houses, and they're in houses and they're walking around and doing all this. In the meantime, there's all kinds of liability to that issue. Like if an agent that didn't sign a contract with you is showing you a house and is walking through my house and walks through and points up in the corner and says, "Ooh, look at that up there. Looks like a leak or something." And I overhear it. And I go up to this agent and I say, "Excuse me, Mr. Agent or Mrs. Agent, you have a? Can I see a copy of your buyer agency agreement?" And he says, "We didn't sign one yet." I said, "Well, then you're working for me." I said, "And you just pointed out something in my house to that buyer that might discourage them from buying my house. So when do you want to move in?" That's what I would say to that agent. And that agent would freak out, because that's the kind of that's the kind of liability. I said, "You just bought this house because I'm suing, because you represent me. So if you don't have a signed agency contract with a buyer when you're buying a property, everybody represents the seller in Pennsylvania until there's a signed contract." And a lot of agents make this mistake. And then when the person finally finds the house they want, they do all the paperwork on the same day. The buyer agency contract, the agreement of sale, and everything. And think about it. You do mortgages. How many mortgages, when you get the contracts, have you seen everything dated the same day?
Yep, absolutely. And that's because
that's a bad move.
Some agents just don't have the confidence in themselves to be able to get, not realizing what their time is worth, number one, and also not realizing the legality of not getting that signed. Same thing with the pre-approval. Same thing with the pre-approval. There are still agents that will take buyers out there, show them a bunch of houses, have them fall in love with the house, and them not be pre-approved.
Right. And I'll tell you what, if they walk into a house with somebody like me that knows what the law a little bit, and they start pointing things out that are wrong, and I find out they're not a buyer agency, I'm suing them for the price of the house. They're buying my house. And you know what? They'll pay. And their company has E&O insurance, and they'll have a $2,000, an insurance, what you put up.
E&O?
You have that, but what's
liability?
The small amount
harmless?
That you put up? No. You got like a $2,000 down payment they have to make in this whole process. But then the E&O will pay off, and I'll get my $200,000. So you need to understand the law. And if your agent doesn't understand the law, you got the wrong agent.
So if they need a good agent, Mark, who should they call?
They should just call me. 267-266-5501. I know the law. I will help them.
All right, very good.
So where are we at?
Well, so we are up to our segment with Dr. A, and we are on step 6 with managerial leader accountability.
Very good.
So welcome, Dr. A.
Hi, guys.
How are you, doctor?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We are good. And excellent. I really liked your segment last week. And so now we're at managerial leader accountability. Take us into this.
All right. Well, what's interesting is most people focus on accountability of staff, but they forget about the accountability of the manager and the leader. So it's real important that you not just focus on what's happening with your staff and the training for them, but you need to focus on not just managerial and leadership training, but accountability training for your leaders. In other words, how are you going to hold them accountable to do what they say they're going to do? And how can they help their staff be held accountable, because it works its way up and down at the same time.
Right.
So what happens is what we need to do is, in order to facilitate that, organizations need to be much clearer with their staff regarding what are the true hiring policies. Okay, what are the true hiring practices? Okay, what are the guidelines that are expected of the leader or the supervisor when somebody new is brought on board, instead of just saying, well, it's common sense, they'll know what to do. There could be nothing further from common sense.
Yeah, you need to have accountability.
Absolutely. But again, typically what happens is the leadership isn't held accountable because they blame it on the subordinates. And with a lot of our markets, and I'm sure this happens with the two of you as well, a lot of them are entrepreneurial, so they don't like to be held accountable.
Right. But that's too bad, because if you're working for me, there's going to be accountability. Because if you don't have accountability, things are not going to get done.
Well, on top of that, the market, even if you're the boss, is boss, and you're the top person, the market will hold you accountable, because it will just be a matter of time before you're out of business. So it's important that you wind up holding yourself accountable so the market doesn't have to do it, and then all of a sudden you're looking for a job, too.
That's true. That's why I like to be involved in business with other people, because I like to be held a little bit accountable. It keeps me on track.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's good to have that information. So it's important that as part of your hiring process, you make sure that you have something in there that the middle management, as well as the subordinates, are going to be held accountable, and not just for their task as what their job is, but as their role as a leader, which is fairly different. And that's one of the things that we teach, because, I mean, we have training on how to be charismatic, right, which is a true leadership aspect, you know, and it's not just somebody who's leading other people, but if you're more charismatic as a salesperson, you're going to do better with sales, because you're more likable and people are going to feel more comfortable with you. So there's all different ways that you can do things that give training to leaders, in addition to making sure they understand the rules and the policies and practices and what's legal and what isn't legal. It's interesting, and this frustrates me a little bit with the real estate industry. When it comes to licensing, what do you get licensed on? What's the training about? The training is about the law. The training is about finance, right? But the training is never about sales, okay? Or rarely is it about sales, okay? It's not about leadership, even your broker trainer. It's more how do you make sure people fill out the right forms and to make sure that they don't break the law. So whereas if you have more effective leadership training, you're going to have fewer problems all the way up and down the line.
All right. I agree. We're kind of out of time, but I agree with you. Most of all that training programs are about protecting the public, not about making money and being successful.
Right. And you have a whole bunch of schools. And so you know exactly what's in the programs.
I know. So tell everybody how to get a hold of you, doctor.
It's real easy. I'm going to do the easy one. Dr. period A for Dr. A at Abelson, ABELSON.net, or just go to Abelson.net. And we have all kinds of new programs there. So feast and help yourself.
All right. Very
Thank
good.
You,
Thank you, doctor.
Catch you guys later.
All right.
All right. Very good. If you have any questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can also email me at DeanneKatsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in every week, and our sponsors for keeping us on the air here on Talk Radio. We hope we make you a faithful listener, keep you informed every week. And you listen to this show and all of our other shows at our website and at WPHT. So with that, have a great week. We're almost in the green. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio. WPHT, all positive,
all the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
When we make a profit, you see it. Better rates, fewer fees, and we give back to the community. All the things that you want from a financial institution. Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours.